This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Last year, Malaysia joined the Madrid Protocol, becoming the 106th member of the Madrid system. The Madrid system enables brand owners and entrepreneurs to protect their brands in 122 countries, including the United States, Australia, the United Kingdom, and Brazil. However, many are still in dark about this. And on the show with me today is Ramakrishna Damodaran, the Managing Director of Adipven, to talk about why this is important for your business and to provide a better understanding of this new protocol. Rama, perhaps a quick introduction about yourself.
My name is Ramakrishna Damodaran. I'm the Managing Director of Adipven M. Sundaram Berhad. We are an intellectual property firm based in Kuala Lumpur.
So let's talk about trademarks. In Malaysia, it's mostly been an afterthought for many businesses. Why has that really been the case for Malaysian businesses when it comes to trademarking and also IP protection?
When you talk about businesses, we need to split the industry into two segments. First segment will be the smaller companies, and then you talk about medium and large entities. Yeah, when you talk about medium and large entities, normally they are more exposed to IP, in particular trademarks. But when you talk about smaller companies, the sole proprietorship, the PLTs and stuff, they believe or they always have the mindset that IP, in particular trademarks, are like insurance. You only need insurance when you're in trouble, all right? So we always, as intellectual property practitioners, we always tell the clients, remember, when you did not claim your rights, your intellectual property rights, the law says you have disclaimed the rights. So if you disclaim your rights, technically third parties can copy, and that's perfectly legal under the law.
And today's day and age is, I guess, more prevalent to see companies trying to copy other companies because it's a global market and there's like, you know, it only takes a few seconds.
Absolutely. You see, nowadays, there's no like a local market. Global is a local market, if you think about it. So when people copy successful brands. Mm. Why would you need to copy a brand which is unknown? All right. So it's easier and makes more sense to copy a brand that consumers are aware of so that the copycats do not need to spend money promoting the product. Mm-hmm. So when your product, you spend money, you spend your time, your resources to promote a particular brand and consumers come to know about that product or the service, then third parties will come in and say that, well, we can offer the same product or same service with much lesser cost. So the choice is with the customers to think that, okay, I can get the same product for much cheaper. Why do I have to pay the brand owners? Mm.
Now, there's also various ways to protect yourself. There's trademarks, there's patents. How do they all this differ?
Okay, when you talk about IP, IP is actually, as industry, is actually a very complicated system. Okay, IP encompasses patents, which protect technologies. You have industrial design, which protects the looks and the feel of a product. You have trademarks that protects the brand, the name that you use to refer to a particular product or service. You have your copyright to protect all the work, original work that you have created and much. So easily there are hundreds of types of IP. Mm. Even your trade secrets IP, your email database, your consumer email database is an IP. Okay, so there are many types of IP. So when people talk about it, sometimes people still confuse between these things. So IP practitioners, one of the things that we do when we meet our clients or potential clients, the first thing we ask them is that, what do you have and what do you intend to protect? Then we have to explain to them, see, you may have this, but not the other.
Mm. All right? But what can you actually protect? And I know there's some changes in the law as well recently. Let's before the law was amended, what could you protect? And now with the amendment of this new law, what else can you protect?
Okay. When you say the recent law that was amended on the 27th of December last year, 2019, the trademark law was completely amended. Okay. If you think about it, the previous law was in force for almost 40 years, all right? So no amendments were done over the last 40 years. So things have moved dominantly around the world, all right? So our law is, in a way, back then was a bit outdated. So back in December 27, Malaysia joined the Madrid Protocol, whereby Malaysian companies can now file trademark application, protect their brands outside Malaysia at much cheaper cost. Madrid Protocol is actually a protocol under the WIPO, World IP Organization, whereby they allow you to file a trademark application using a single channel, okay, and that will cover almost 130 countries around the world.
Mm-hmm. And this new trademark bills 2019 have also added new things that you could, trademark, even to sound and smell as well, right?
That's right. Under the old law, only two types of trademark can be registered. Okay? What we call as name and what we call as the logo. Now, when you talk about name, for example, BFM, the word is actually name. But if you look at a particular logo, okay, with or without characters, yeah, that is actually a logo. But now, under the new law, even sound mark is registrable. Okay? Even color mark is registrable. Even smell mark is registrable. Mm. Okay? So these are what we call as non-conventional trademarks or non-traditional trademarks that developed countries have implemented for about 20, 25 years ago. Malaysia is probably one of the last ones to introduce the non-traditional trademarks.
And this is crucial for us because now, like you mentioned, we are part of the Madrid Protocol. But perhaps, you know, the understanding, so Madrid Protocol helps us to, you know, help businesses to actually then go global much easier?
That's right. You see, back in 2001, okay, when Japan joined the Madrid Protocol, after a couple of years later, there was a survey done in Japan to see the cost effectiveness of Madrid Protocol. Among the large companies, the survey says that if you designate minimum three countries, you can actually save about 50% of the cost when you file overseas. Among the practitioners, the survey says that they are recommending to file at least 5 to 10 countries in order to see cost effectiveness. All right. So can you just imagine, when you file under the old law, when you file trademark application in other countries, you need to appoint an associate in those countries. Okay, you need to provide powers of attorney. Some countries, jurisdiction, you probably need some notarization and legalization. That can be very, very costly. Under the Madrid Protocol, you only need to file with Malaysia a single application in English. You can designate up to 122 countries as we speak.
Mm. How did this Madrid Protocol formation actually came about? Because it seems like now, you know, it has, you know, enabled many other businesses from other countries to have this, you know, structured progress to, or I guess, you know, application process.
Madrid Protocol is not new. If you look at the history, it's actually 150 years old system, okay? But has developed over the years. And what we see today, probably what was implemented in the US and in the European region 20, 25 years ago, okay? So what you see is actually a group of countries coming together to say that companies find it very difficult to spend money to go abroad. Okay, and they want to have a streamlined system whereby you can actually file a trademark application that covers as many countries as possible. In Southeast Asia, Malaysia is one of the last ones to join the Madrid Protocol. As things stand now, only Myanmar is not a member of the Madrid Protocol. All the other countries have joined Madrid Protocol much earlier than Malaysia. Mm.
So as of this year, businesses can file for one single application and be registered in various different countries. So what's the step here for them? What's next for them? How can they actually be part of this?
Okay. What they can do now is they have the choice of appointing a practitioner to file a trademark application for them, or even they can file themselves. The system is actually available online. Very user-friendly system they have there. So what we need to do now is they have to select the countries among the 122 countries, which countries they want the rights to be protected. When you file a Madrid Protocol application, it doesn't mean that you're protected in all 122. You need to designate the countries that you want the protection to be.
Why is that so?
Because every country will attract different fee structure. Okay, the more countries that you designate, the cost will be higher. Mm. All right, so that's number one. Number two is that what we call as examination process. You see, when you file a Madrid Protocol application, WIPO, the World IP Organization, does not do substantive examination. They will only check on the formalities to make sure that you have the forms completed, you have paid the fees completely and all that. And then the application forms will be sent to the national offices. the national officers will conduct substantive examination, and they have the rights to either to allow your application or to reject your application for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
One of the grounds that normally people, the applications get rejected is because there are existing trademarks in the country, okay? Or the mark may not be suitable or acceptable in the country. For example, one of the issues is like morality. Trademark officers, national officers can actually look into morality issue before allowing a trademark application.
I'm speaking to Ramakrishna Damodaran, the Managing Director of Adipven, and we'll continue in just a moment. BFM 89.9.
Busy following Money Trail. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Tech Talk, and you're with me, Jeff Sandhu, and today I'm talking to Ramakrishna Damodaran, the Managing Director of Adipven, talking about the Madrid Protocol system, which would allow Malaysian businesses to protect themselves in various countries through an easier way of filing for trademark and IP protection. Rama, for businesses that discover rejection because of a similar patent or a trademark in different countries, how would they proceed if that ever happens?
Once you receive what we call as a provisional refusal from from the national officers, you need to appoint a local associate in those countries to actually file a response to the provisional refusal. This is where you need to appoint the agent. So you don't need to appoint the agent at the first stage. You only have to appoint the agent when you have a problem, all right? So now, once the provisional refusal has been issued, the agent responds to the report, the trademark office have the right to either maintain the objection or to allow the application with certain conditions, all right? So until and unless your application is accepted in the country, in that national offices, the application will remain pending in so far of that countries.
Mm-hmm. Now, it also allows businesses to have, you know, I guess some form of trademark or patent here in Malaysia as well, foreign businesses to come into Malaysia. Are they at risk for Malaysian businesses who, you know, still feel that there isn't a need for them to protect themselves because they're not looking to go abroad, but they're global companies that are coming in here now?
Funny you ask that question, because the most trademark practitioners, if you ask me, they wouldn't like a Madrid protocol to be enforced. You know why? Because prior to Madrid Protocol, prior to December 27 last year, when a foreign applicant company or organization wants to file a trademark application in Malaysia, they have to appoint a Malaysian agent from day one. But under the Madrid Protocol, as I said just now, you only need a Malaysian agent when you have a problem with the Malaysian trademark office. All right? So, and statistically, 65% of the trademark application under Madrid Protocol do not encounter any problems. So you only have like 35% of possible rejection. That's number one. On the other hand, for the companies, when you talk about the companies, they are now at risk of getting sued by third parties for something they may not be aware of. Remember, ignorance is not a defense. All right. So all of a sudden, you may have a trademark that has covered 122 countries and Malaysia is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So as far as the company is concerned, they really have to be very careful when they are launching a new product or service and must run through a conflict check with the trademark office to ensure that they are not infringing any third-party trademarks.
Mm. How long does this process actually take? Because it seems like there are many steps involved here, and you know, it's very risky for now a new business to launch something new in the market when there's the Madrid Protocol.
Under the Madrid Protocol, countries have the option of allowing the application or rejecting the application within 12 or 18 months. So that's their deadline, all right, for the national officers, which is actually a very good thing, because under the old law, for those countries which are not members of the Madrid Protocol, you don't have a fixed deadline as to when the local officers can or should or allow or reject your application, you see. So under the WIPO rule, you need to either allow or reject within 12 or 18 months, all right? Malaysia chose the 18-month deadline, all right? So if your trademark office in Malaysia does not allow your application or does not reject your application within the 18-month deadline, the application is automatically assumed to be registered in that country on the 18-month deadline.
Mm.
So that will give you some understanding how long this process will take. On average, we are talking about 15 to 18 month deadline.
But cost is still something that businesses would save with the system in place.
Definitely. Right? From our research, we have seen that if you file minimum five countries, you designate minimum five countries, the cost can be saved up to 50%, 50.
Mm-hmm. Now, what kind of impact do you think this would have on the economy, especially when, you know, now it's just, I guess, you know, a single click of a button that you can register yourself in different parts of the world. You know, the impact that it have in Malaysia, but also ASEAN itself.
You see, trademark is one of the fast growing industry, all right? The number of trademark applications being filed around the world already reached 5 million in 2019. All right. And that actually shows the number of trademarks that are being registered worldwide as we speak. Every minute, there probably be 100 applications being filed. In Malaysia, we did a survey on the 11th February 2020. The Intellectual Property Corporation of Malaysia, MIPO, published a data and they said that between 27 December 2019 and 11th February 2020, there were 451 trademark applications by foreigners under the Madrid Protocol, which designated Malaysia. And 11 Malaysian companies have filed trademark application using Madrid Protocol designating other countries. Mm. So this shows that within the short period of time, companies, especially the large ones, are aware that the importance of trademarks through the Madrid Protocol, and they already started embarking on this journey. But remember, it's not all positive. There's always a risk. There's a system called central attack under the Madrid Protocol. When you talk about central attack, what it means is that your home registration, let's say you're a Malaysian company, right? You must file a trademark application in Malaysia first, outside the Madrid Protocol, all right? And then you file your Madrid Protocol application. Now, let's say your home registration, your Malaysian registration is cancelled for whatever reason within 5 years from the Madrid Protocol application date. Your Madrid Protocol application is automatically deemed to be rejected. Mm. Okay? The risk is there. So, now, under the previous regime, in order to attack a trademark in a particular country, the third party has to go to the court or the trademark office in that particular country. And if the company has 10 trademarks or in 10 different countries, for example, the third party has to go to 10 different countries. And the cost can be very, very high. Mm-hmm. Under the central attack system, the cost is only to attack at the home registration, and the Madrid Protocol application will be deemed to be rejected automatically. When that happens, let's say you designated 10 countries, WIPO will the Madrid Protocol application will cease to exist, and now this trademark application will be converted into 10 separate applications in the separate countries. So for third parties, it's easy for them to attack under the Madrid Protocol. Now for the applicant, suddenly it becomes like back to square one. They are now proceeding as if they are different 10 different applications, and the cost will be the same as what they were expected to incur before 27 December 2019.
Now, you mentioned since this has been in place, the large companies are the ones that have been moving forward. Is this only something for the large companies? Why isn't the SME market going for this?
As I said earlier, they think trademarks, IP generally are insurance. So they don't see the importance of it. Like I, in my practice over the last 20 years, I've seen so many clients who think that, oh, trademarks, they are very small companies. Therefore, they don't think they are qualified, quote unquote, to file trademark application. Trademark regime does not differentiate between small, large, new company, old company. No, you can even file a trademark application if you are 1 day old, or even after 100 years old. Hmm. All right. So the awareness among the SMEs in Malaysia, unfortunately, is still low. But from my experience, the thing has improved. Okay, more and more companies find it important to file trademark application because it's a global market now. People sell and buy over the internet. A trademark which is not registered technically can be used by any third party. And if people are using it or to sell over the online portals, how do you control that? Mm-hmm. You know, so it's always cost effective to file a trademark application. In Malaysia, for example, the cost will be around 3,000 ringgit. And that is actually for 10 years of protection. So if you look at it, it's only 300 ringgit per year. But if you don't have a trademark application, you don't have a trademark registration, a third party copies you, if you have to go to court, you'll probably be incurring six figures. So it is actually very important for companies, however small, however big they are, to file the trademark application and protect themselves.
And it's not as complex as it is. And if companies do find this, you know, very complicated, there's help, you know, online as well.
Absolutely, because MIPO, the Intellectual Property Corporation of Malaysia, provides offices to help companies filing trademark applications directly, so they don't have to use practitioners. But it's always important to use practitioners because practitioners will give you more professional advice what can be registered and what cannot be registered. Remember, not all trademarks can be registered.
Mm-hmm. Rama, it's been a pleasure. And you know, hopefully we will see more SMEs, which you know makes up the large number of businesses here in Malaysia. Hopefully they'll you know have some better understanding about the Madrid Protocol and take steps to protect themselves. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you for having me.
That was Ramakrishna Damodaran, the Managing Director of Adib Van, talking about the Madrid Protocol system. If you missed any parts of this conversation, you know the drill. Download the podcast on the website, the BFM app, or on Spotify. My name is Jeff Zandu, and this has been Tech Talk on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.